Elder, he's going to come share today. Let's thank God for Joel.
How about that? Is that better? Are you all happy? Brent's happy. That's the only guy I really care about in the whole room. Well, thank you very much. Let's open with prayer because, believe me, I need it. Jesus, thank you. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to open with the scriptures that I put down. The title of the message is Devotion, which was our title for the year, actually. What are you doing? Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Therefore, whoever hears my sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus is comparing two men. One is a wise man, and the other is a foolish man. Now, ladies, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking probably that you never knew a wise man. But you've known many, many foolish men. But if you pay careful attention to what it said. It says, therefore, whoever hears. So this includes you too. I'm sorry. And then later it says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine. So it's everyone. It pertains to everyone. These two men, they experience life. I believe that that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about building your life, your house. In the Old Testament, it talked about the house of David. It talked about many types of houses. So when you're building a house, you have to be careful about what you're building on, don't you? Yes, you see, the foundation is where you start. You make a plan, and then you start building. But you can't build until you get the foundation right. When in my life, my wife and I, we accepted the Lord when we were 28 years old. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have told them. Oh, I was 28 years old. And she was much, much younger. 4 days. And she and I, we ventured out knowing very little about what Jesus really wanted for us. We knew he was our Lord and we knew he was our Savior. But the definition of Lord, what does that really mean? And so we started our lives together, and I was working at Boone Hospital Center in the field of anesthesia, and my wife and I, we decided that we had a job opportunity in Washington, Missouri, where they had given me what I thought was a great job. They were going to pay me more. And maybe like a lot of people, I thought, well, I'll just go wherever they pay me, because that's what Jesus wants, right? He wants me blessed. And so I took a job just based on what everybody else does. It looked good. You didn't have to work that hard. You made lots of money. Who wouldn't take it, right? I left out a very important factor. I left out Jesus. I did not consult him about this move. I just did it. Well, a year and a half went by. I thought it was perfect. I liked the job. Work wasn't that bad. The people I worked with, I liked. All was well. We bought a house. Pretty nice house. Again, I did not consult Jesus. I thought you just did things and then you asked Jesus to bless them. Makes sense to me. I realized later that Jesus wants to be the foundation of your life, the foundation of your decisions. That's the tricky part. He doesn't just want you to do what you want or base your decisions on what other people think or base your decisions on your education or base your decisions on anything but Him. So, we were living this life and doing well. We had a baby, little girl, my first daughter, Megan. All things were good. Until I went to work one day, and the guy who hired me, whose group it was, said, guys, I tell you what, I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm dissolving the group. You guys are on your own. Good luck. I'm decided I don't like anesthesia. That's what he told us. He said, I don't like it. Now, he'd gone to school a long time, but he just didn't like it. He said, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to become an obstetrician, a GYN doctor. I'm leaving for Columbia Presbyterian in New York City to start a new residency, and I'm selling everything, and I'm leaving. And so all of us had to decide what we were going to do. Well, I had a problem. I had a nice house, and I had to sell it and all that. But I found another job here in Mexico, Missouri, Audrain Medical Center. And it was a good job, and I thought, well, I'll just move there. And I'll take the family. The problem is I still had a house, and I couldn't really just take the family. So my wife and my little girl stayed back in Washington, Missouri, while I traveled back and forth to Mexico, Missouri. It wasn't ideal. Then one day when I went home, there was two guys in spacesuits in my front yard. And I thought, what are these guys doing? And they were taking soil samples. I thought, what is going on? So I walked up to them, and they said, we're from the EPA. We're testing your front yard here for dioxin. Now, if you don't know what dioxin is, it's a chemical found in that time, at least found in oil. Not all oil, just certain types of oil that were as contaminated with this chemical dioxin. Dioxin causes cancer in everything. Animals, people, doesn't matter. It's highly toxic. I found out that in a town called Times Beach, which does not exist anymore, that the roads had been sprayed, because they were mostly dirt roads and gravel roads, they had been sprayed by this oil that had been contaminated by dioxin. And people figured that out in Times Beach because the animals started dying. The cattle, the horses, the dogs, the cats were getting tumors and dying from cancer. And they said, you know what? We better start looking at people. And they found out people had cancer from dioxin. So what they did into the town of Times Beach is they said, we're coming in and we're burying the whole town. They bulldozed every house, every building, everything, and covered it with tons of dirt, then capped it all with asphalt so nobody could get contamination. And they literally destroyed the whole town. It doesn't exist. And this guy from EPA that's in my front yard said, we have a little problem. That guy who sprayed those roads, we think sprayed your road. And we don't know if he used the same oil. Do you know what your property value is? If they find out that you have dioxin in your front yard? How many people would like to buy my house if you find out I have dioxin in my front yard? You're right. Zero. In fact, they want to stay as far away from you as they can, because nobody wants to be contaminated with dioxin. So I couldn't sell my house. Impossible. It's worth zero if they find dioxin in your front yard. Worse yet, I thought, I let my little girl, who's just, you know, she's like one, and she's toddling around, and I let her play in my front yard. What's that doing to my family? What is that doing to me? How many people know that's when you start praying? Even if you're not a Christian, you hope there's a God somewhere that can get you out of this. Well, believe me, I sought the Lord. I said, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I should have asked you about this whole thing. Help me to never forget that you have sent the Holy Spirit to be my counselor, my helper. And if I don't use him and don't talk to him, then I can't get an answer. You know, if you don't ask, you can't get an answer. And it comes to me that sometimes that's the reason people don't ask. It's because sometimes they don't want the answer. So as I was seeking the Lord about what I should do, he gave me an answer, but I didn't like it. And here's what he said. He said, do you know that person you're working with at Audrain Medical Center? And I knew who he was talking about. Yeah, there was a person that I just didn't like. Sorry. If you thought somehow elders of this church don't like people, some of us don't like people. And I didn't like this person. But that person wanted to sell their house. And the Lord told me, go pray with that person about selling their house. I said, Lord, you got me confused. I want my house sold. I don't want their house sold. I could care less about their house. That's their problem. But the Lord said, now it's yours. You see, I found that sometimes building our house on Christ, making him the foundation, means you have to change. I thought maybe he'd be talking to somebody else about that. No. It's you have to change. You have to ask him on everything that you do to help you decide correctly. Make the right decision. Isn't that what life is all about, making decisions? And if you have the right foundation, you'll make the right decision. So I prayed with this person about getting their house sold. And the Lord sold mine. Because there was no dioxin. The EPA came back, there's no dioxin on your property. Now, I don't know if there ever was. But if there was, it was gone. I don't know. Only the Lord knows. If he does miracles for you, that's up to him. It came to me that maybe Jesus, when he spoke this and gave this illustration, that he did not understand that he was talking to people in the 21st century. See, because he's talking about people who are building their house on rock versus someone who would build their house on sand. Now, we live in the 21st century where we're geniuses. Technologically, I mean, when he was talking to people, they were like ignorant. They did not know anything. They didn't have cell phones. They had no global inheritance that you could see these satellites circling the earth. They didn't know that you could plan to put a space station on the moon so that you could go to Mars. They didn't know all that stuff. So how could he know that in this day and age, we don't worry about building our houses on sand? Could you show that picture for me? That I wanted to show you this picture that I found. This is people a long time ago in 2025. In 2025, in October. So it's been only a few months ago. These people, they have technological genius on their side. They have built their houses on sand. That's their foundation. But because they're geniuses, they actually built their houses on toothpicks stuck in the sand. This is North Carolina. It's the Outer Banks. And there has been a big storm, as you can tell by the debris here. there's been a big storm. There was wind. There was rain. And now the ocean is rising because there's a hurricane out in the ocean. It's never touched these houses. They just got wind and rain. That's what beat against their houses. The ocean is going to rise. But they already knew that. See how they built their houses up? They already knew the ocean rises. See, so they're outsmarted nature. Can you play this little video? They outsmarted nature. Here's the problem. Is that thousands and thousands of people have built their houses just this way. And after all, thousands of people can't be wrong, can they? I mean, isn't that how we look at life? If everyone does it, we can do it. At least then you've got a few thousand people that got trouble, but we're all in it together. And I'd have to agree with you. You are in it together. You can see your neighbor's house sometimes crashes into yours and gets to take you along with them. Could it be that Jesus understands man better than man understands? Could it be that men have never changed? 2,000, 5,000 years ago, men haven't changed. We all follow others because we think there's safety in numbers. That's very interesting because really, if you look at these verses that we're looking at, this is the conclusion of a sermon. And the sermon before that is called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just talked to thousands of people that are following him. Why are they following him? Because in chapter 4 of Matthew, they brought everyone that was sick, everyone that they knew had infirmities, blindness, whatever you can think of, being lame, being physically sick with leprosy, whatever it was, they all came to Jesus and he healed them all. So what a crowd did he have. The Sermon on the Mount, in my estimation, is the greatest sermon that's ever given. And it was given by the greatest minister that ever lived, Jesus Christ himself. In that, he talks about people a lot of times. One of the illustrations he gives, he says, yeah, the road that most people travel by is very broad, and it leads to destruction. The path that very few find leads to life. And it is difficult, but very few find the narrow path. That's about all I can stand. Turn that thing off. People are foolish. That's what Jesus just said. He said, most people build their houses on sand. There was a man that, when I was younger, and yes, I was younger. When I was younger, there was a man who was very famous. His name was Frank Sinatra. And when he passed away, he was on his deathbed. Now, this man had made lots of money writing songs, singing songs. He was very popular. He had written the number one song that made him the most popular was a song called My Way. The lyrics are something like, now the curtain is about to close. He's on his deathbed. That's what he was singing about. But I just want the whole world to know that I did it my way. Well, you can do it your way. Most people do. That's what Jesus said. Most people will do it their way. There's a problem with that. It's built on sand. On his real deathbed, when he really died, his last words were, I'm losing. I'm losing. The last words of a man that did it his way. You can build your whole life on sand. The troubling thing about this comparison is both men, the wise and the foolish, heard the words of Jesus. Did you hear me? They both heard the words of Jesus. One said, I'm going to make Jesus my foundation. I'm going to build on the rock. And when those winds come, and they will come, and the rain comes pouring down, and it will come pouring down, and when the floods rise and the storms are coming, that man, he stood. His house stood. Everything he built stood because it was based on the rock. The other man, he heard the same words of Jesus. He just ignored it. It's just another good teacher. Okay, yeah, it's nice. I enjoy going Sundays and hearing the pastor say a few things. And it made sense at the time, but surely come Monday morning, I don't have to do anything about it. I don't really have to live my life asking Jesus what I should do. He doesn't understand me. The problem really is that he understands you better than you understand you. He created you. I looked up because I wanted to find out how important foundation is. You know, my dad was a farmer. We had a hog house. We poured a foundation. It was about 4 inches thick of concrete. And we built the hog house on the concrete. Now, we didn't build a hog house like Gary Windman did. His holds 5,000 hogs. Now, we just had 50. But 4 inches of concrete is all we needed. The tallest skyscraper in the world is in Dubai. Our hog house was 4 inches thick. In Dubai, they built the largest skyscraper in the world. Those foundations 164 feet deep. Why? Because they knew that what they were building had to stand. It was going to weigh almost 1 billion pounds. It stands 2,722 feet up. It needed a strong foundation. Because you see, the winds come and the whole building moves 6 feet, one way or the other. You need a strong foundation. How's your foundation? The winds are coming. Storm's going to come either. What do you build on? Will you bounce back? I've known many people who have extremely high education. We had a pastor named Pastor Hyatt, and he used to say, I know people that have more degrees than a thermometer. And that's with me. I've known people who have more degrees than a thermometer. And I've known them live their lives and died. Did you know everybody in this room? That's what's going to happen. We're going to live our lives, and then we're going to die. I believe whatever our foundation is, Jesus is going to look at. You and I will be looked at. Not on our salvation, that is for sure, if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The Savior part's for sure, but the Lord part, that's what I'm asking. Is it on sand or is it on Jesus? The rock of our salvation. What we build on, I believe the Lord will look at and either be pleased or he won't be. And then you and I will know. But I want us to know today. In the end, it won't do us any good to find out we built on sand. Because Jesus said, great was the fall for that guy. I don't want us to have regrets at the end. When I was a kid, I had a horse. Now, some people understand horses. I still don't understand them very well. But my dad, who when I was 11, he knew I wanted a horse. You know how he knew? Because I watched every cowboy show on TV there was. And there was a lot when I was a kid. I watched The Rifleman, Bonanza, Roy Rogers, and they all rode horses. And I wanted a horse so bad because I knew what I could do. You can gallop that thing, jump fences. You can do anything with a horse. You and that horse are bonded. So, Dad bought me a horse. It was a Shetland pony named Trexie. Now, the horse was smart, too smart. He figured out real quick that he had an 11-year-old boy on his back. And every time I would dig my heels into his side to get him to go, he'd turn around his head and try to bite my leg. He said, you can beat on me all day long, but I'm just going to try to bite you. And if you hit me too hard, I'm going to throw you off. So I asked Dad, I said, you know, I think we got a bad horse. And Dad said, no, the horse is well trained. The guy I bought it from said he would be good for kids. Well, I said, I don't know, you know, I just don't like this thing. So he asked my Uncle Howard to come. And my Uncle Howard had worked with animals all his life and knew a lot about horses. And Uncle Howard got on Trexie and rode it around just like the TV. He was galloping down the road that we had there and coming back and doing all kinds of things. So he'd make the horse back up. He'd make it go forward, turn left, turn right. He could do it all. And I said to Uncle Howard, how do you do this? And he says, well, get on and show me what you've been doing. And I got on and he says, well, I can tell you right now, you're hurting the horse. Your car's in the horse pain and it don't like you on there because you're holding the reins too tight. And it's hurting its mouth and it doesn't want to be hurt. I did learn how to ride that horse, and I did enjoy it. But I realized something. I need a teacher. We all need teachers. We all need an instructor. And no one greater than Jesus, no one greater than the Holy Spirit, to teach us how to live life. You and I don't know how to make decisions, and we don't know which ones are the right ones and which ones are the wrong ones. We need a teacher. We need Jesus Christ to teach us. I also learned one last lesson when I was in high school. I was in the FFA. Yeah, I know, Future Farmers of America, like I became a farmer. But at the time, I thought I was going to be a forest ranger. Until I realized when I was a freshman in college, the forest rangers only could work for one employer, and that's the government. And the government may or may not have a budget for forest rangers. So if you didn't apply, if you applied to the forestry and you didn't get accepted because of the budget, or you might get your salary cut because of the budget. And I also realized then that 50% of all forest rangers never see a forest. That was a little disappointing. That a lot of them end up at memorials, like the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, giving tours. Those are the same guys that were supposed to be in a forest. And they end up living in Washington, D.C., New York City, Chicago. And I thought, man, what a bum. So, I didn't go into forestry. I was in the FFA, and the guy who taught me in the FFA, his wife taught home ec. And so they decided for 1 month they were going to trade classes. So the woman who's teaching home ec came to teach us guys for 1 month. She was going to teach us home ec. I had a good friend that was with me in FFA. His name was Bob Holtz. And Bob and I teamed up. We're going to be a team because she wanted pairs of guys to teach home ec. The first thing she did is got us a little recipe book, the simplest recipe she could find, because she had simple kids. Simplest recipe, and she was going to teach us how to cook. So she said, now you got to do everything I tell you to do. Well, Bob and I, we were too busy goofing off and talking. And besides, it was a simple recipe. And so we got to choose from 10 different recipes which ones you wanted to do. And we decided we were going to make chocolate chip cookies. How hard could that be? But see, the problem was we didn't pay attention. And so we took all the ingredients that it said on the page, we threw it all in at the same time, and we turned the blender on. And we ended up with chocolate cookies, but not chocolate chip cookies. It took the chips and stirred them into the... And I'm probably the only guy in the world that flunked home ec. And you know why? Because I didn't pay attention to what was being said. Jesus said that's the most important thing, is that you do what he says. Pastor Ron.
Precious anointing with that. Let's close our eyes. While the Holy Spirit today is calling and drawing, if there's some here that you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and your life right now is built on the sand, and you've been thinking, oh, it's been going just fine, but the storm's coming. And at the very least, death is coming. So today is a day to build upon Jesus Christ. He's laid the groundwork for you to have eternal life. He loves you so much. He gave his life, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. If you've not yet believed in Jesus, and I'm the only one looking around right now, but I just want to remember who to pray for today after the service. Just between you and I, could you just raise your hand so I could pray for you today? God loves you. He doesn't force anybody into his family, but it is his desire for you to make a good choice today. Build on that rock. Give your life to Jesus. This is the day. Just between you and I, just raise your hand. I'll pray for you today. Let's all stand, if we could. If you just feel today that God has given you a clear word, a challenge even. Maybe you're a bit too casual and you just kind of live life very independently and just call upon God every so often as you see fit. And God's saying, you know, he's here for you. He wants you to be sensitive in everything to him and to make choices, not just on your own wits. But what does God have to say about how you think, what you do, how you treat people? How does God feel? And to really be sensitive. And you just want to pray today, Lord, help me to build upon the rock, to call upon you, to avail myself of the counselor that is the Holy Spirit. Just come on down together. We'll pray. That was just such a clear, succinct, beautiful word today. There's a sweetness to that anointing. And it was definitely a reproof, but you couldn't get a sweeter reproof. God used that vessel to bless us today. And also, I want us to think a little bit longer term, because some of the decisions that we make, it's not just about us. One could say, well, you know, I'll just have to live with consequences, but sometimes there's collateral damage. Think about those people that built their houses on the toothpicks, like Joel said. I mean, we're a bunch of geniuses, right, in the 21st century. Well, not only did that affect their house, but then they have kids, perhaps, so it affects them. And it is very likely that they're going to demand that the federal government subsidize their bad decisions, so then that affects our purchasing power through sinflation. And then, of course, homeowners' rates are going to go up. Anybody's home insurance gone up lately? I mean, see how things just, it doesn't just stay with you. When we are not calling upon the Lord or asking, you know, what do you, instead of just going into autopilot, oh yeah, more money, oh yeah, that looks good. Because there's a way that seems right to a person, but the end of that thing could be death. When we don't do that, then it can ripple out. So, Lord, as we come here today, we just humbly ask you to forgive us for operating so often independently by our own wits or thoughts, and And just help us to have the humility to always consider you first and thereby be building upon the rock. You've laid that foundation for us, so let us build upon what you've given to us. And also, Lord, help us to consider it's not just consequences for us, but things that affect other people now, things that have multi-generational effects. And so let us be wise and humble and walk tenderly before you. And we thank you for that sweet reproof that you gave us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings upon you.